Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you sit on your throne and you reign and rule in the lives of men. That, Lord, your desire is for your people to seek your face and to follow you. Lord, we do a terrible job of following each other. But, Lord, you told us to come and follow you. So, Lord, help us to follow you. Lord, this world will bring us tribulation, but you said you have overcome this world, so we are victorious because of your death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, Lord. And so we thank you for what you did to pay for our sins. Lord, as we gather together this morning, I ask that you would just put your words in my mouth to reach your people that I might bring you glory. We ask you to bless the reading of your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Most of you know that I've been going through a difficult time the last few months. Last year, before the year began, 2018, my father is 84 years of age. But I just had a feeling my dad would not be around for another year. And it was a difficult year for him. In March of last year, he had a heart attack. A massive heart attack, and did like 40% damage to his heart. 2 weeks later, he went on dialysis. He was in kidney failure. But that time together was a blessed time, a family coming together, praying with each other, and seeking the Lord. Dad survived. He went home. He was still resuming his activities. He just was limited. In July, July 8th to be exact, Sunday afternoon, I'm on my way home from church. My mom calls and says, your dad's on the way to the emergency room. She found him in the bathroom. He'd fallen. He had thrown up, and he was laying on the ground. She couldn't get him up, and she was just trying to get the vomit out of his mouth so he didn't choke on it. They took him by ambulance to Harris downtown. He had another heart attack. But in the fall, he encountered a brain bleed, so he had brain surgery. He was on life support for about a week, and he came home. He didn't come home. He stayed in the hospital. We went to rehab center for 3 months. So as I was going through all this, Mom had to make the decision after 3 months, do we put him in a nursing home, or do we take him home and try to take care of him? To be honest with you, Dad was getting depressed in the rehab center and the nursing home. He thought he was going to die in there. And I just felt like it was our duty to honor our parents when they can't take care of themselves. So I prayed about it, and I took a 2-month hiatus to move in with my mom and help take care of my dad. Mom is 81, Dad's 84. She can't lift him, can't take care of him. He's pretty much unable to take care of himself. He can get in a wheelchair. He can feed himself. He can take care of these things. He cannot walk. He cannot be left alone. He's a fall hazard. But to my amazement, my dad made it through the year. In October, he had another heart attack. He's still here. Looking back over the past year, I can see God's hand on the things that we've done with my dad. My brother is not a believer in Jesus Christ. 2005, I moved here. And we celebrated my parents' 50th wedding anniversary. And I told my brother that I'd like to say a few things and I'd like to pray for our family. And my brother's attitude was, well, just make it quick. And I said, I'm going to take as long as the Lord tells me to take it. So I prayed for us. I gave God the glory for what he's done in our family back in 2005. Many families are not married 50 years anymore. My parents celebrate their 63rd anniversary last year, going on 64 in April this year. When I was taking care of my dad, I wasn't just taking care of my dad. I was taking care of my mom. Mom can't handle it. She worries about him. And she's not physically able, and she's worried about losing her husband. But I spent those 2 months with him. The funny thing about it is my brother said, I don't know how you do it. I said, The Bible says to honor your parents. They can't take care of themselves. And so the Lord said, I need to do it. It's not been easy. But I'm thankful that I took the time to do it instead of putting in a nursing home. I've seen my dad. He's a believer, but he's seen the hand of God too. He's got a testimony. He says, I can't believe I'm here. I said, well, when God's ready for you, he'll take you. But my brother, his heart has softened. He bows his head in prayer. He doesn't pray. He knows the gospel message. I shared it many times. All I'm trying to say is that this life is short. We don't know what's going to bring it, what we're going to have. And I know we're all going through our trials and tribulations. In this body alone, we've seen healings that I never would have thought, except I believed in the Lord. And he has been faithful. And, you know, my dad can go home to the Lord any day. It's going to be a hard time. But I'm thankful for the time I had with him. Well, preparing for today's message, I was going to go to Nehemiah. It was an interesting, and I think it was a good discipleship teaching in it. But I know many of you are going through struggles and trials and things. And the Lord said, spend some time in Ecclesiastes. You know, we take our Christianity for granted. The wisest man in the world, Solomon, wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And he searched the world for everything and anything and everything that could satisfy him. And he had great wisdom. And he summed up life in many ways. Many times he says, life is but vanity. That it's a vapor. It's here a minute, it's gone the next. But as I was going through my times last year, chapter 3 in Ecclesiastes prepared me. I'm not ready for my dad to go home, but I know he'd be in a better place. Mourning is for the living. So it's hard for us to accept that. And I'm just going to begin in chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Remember, God sits on his throne and reigns in the rule of men. He knows what he's doing. We're one that we're living in a fantasy world if we think we're going to live forever. Excuse me. And there's seasons for everything. And we're going to look at those seasons. In verse 2, and he says, for those seasons, there's a time for every purpose under heaven. When I saw the time that I had with my dad this last year, I saw the hand of God reaching out to my brother, who just, you start talking about Jesus and scriptures, and he'd walk away. Now he's listening. I think it's just a matter of time. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. God's got a time for everything. In verse 2, it says a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. Okay, I'm just going to take that verse right there because I know my dad's going to pass away one day. My mom's going to pass away one day. They might outlive me. There's a time for dying. It's not easy. What's interesting is, as it spoke to me this past year, a time to be born. My niece was told she could never get pregnant. She's having a baby. It's due in February. God gets the glory. She saw the hand of God. And so there is a time to be born and a time to die. The time to die is not for us to choose. The Bible says our days are numbered. We don't know what they are, but God knows. And every one of them is written in his book. So we shouldn't even worry about that time that we have. It's coming. It's a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. You know, that was going back to the days when they planted their crops. But you know, that can be the same thing today. We need to plant the gospel message in a time to reap the harvest. Are we being faithful in planting the word of God? I have been trying to plant the word of God in my brother's life for 13 years. I've been watering it. He's heard it. He's seen the hand of God. It's still his decision. You can't force someone. God doesn't make you. But I do believe God is softening that soil. And it's taken a long time of prayer, a long time of planting the seeds. You know, you can use that word for anything, for planting and plucking. You know, you got to. If you don't plan for anything, you plan to fail. We're called to be good stewards of what God gave us. So take that scripture how you might. But there's some things you can apply it to. And then there's a time to kill and a time to heal. Well, you know, I'm guessing that's a time to go to war and time to mend feelings and things like that. Many times we spend too much time fighting over things we shouldn't fight over instead of showing the love and mercy of Jesus Christ to each other. We, you know, relationships are hard, marriages are hard, and the enemy is doing a good job of tearing apart marriages. Everybody in this world is angry and mad at each other. They're willing to fight over and riot over simple things that, you know, if you just didn't pay any attention to it, it'd go away. But they won't leave it alone. And a time to break down and a time to build up. You know, sometimes we just like New Year's resolutions. How did we do last year? Well, I didn't do so well, so I'm going to start from scratch and start all over again. And we as believers in Jesus Christ, we're called to look at ourselves in the mirror and to judge ourselves according to the way God sees us. Are we the people that God wants us to be? Are we living the life that God wants us to live? Are we trusting in him? You know, when we go, Jesus told us that we will have tribulation in this world. And I've noticed that when you have tribulation, you either run from God or you run to God. The question is, do you run to him? And that's time of healing when we run to him. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, a time to dance. You know, I look back over my life. I'm 61 years of age. And I look back and I see, just like Solomon said, you know, I had some good times. I had some bad times. I had some times I would not have wanted to go through. I wouldn't want to go through them again. And there's times when I just was dancing for the Lord, you know. And I can tell you that some of the most intimate times I've ever had was intimacy with the Lord. Our friends Philip and Jeanette are on a cruise right now. And I'm thankful for them. They serve the body well. I've been on two cruises. And yeah, the food's good, the entertainment's good. But what I enjoyed was the peace and quiet to get away from the hustle and bustle of this world and spend time with God. I would get up in the morning and watch the sunrise. I'd go to bed at night, look at the stars at night, and spend some intimate time with the Lord. I felt like dancing during those times because sometimes I've been praying for something and I would spend time and God would reveal it to me. Give me an answer to a prayer. You know, you're reading through the scriptures and you all of a sudden that scripture just jumps off the page. That's what you want me to do, isn't it, Lord? Time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. Life is not easy. I wish it was all easy, but the Bible also says those trials and tribulations that we go through, that pain and suffering goes through, is so that we can minister to others that go through the same thing. We grow more during those times than we do the blessed times. The nation of Israel, when God blessed them, they fell away from the Lord. When they were at their lowest point and they cried out to God, God lifted them up. So those times, we always think that, Lord, just bless me, just bless me, just bless me. Well, I grew more during the tribulations the trials than I did the blessings. A time to cast away stones in verse 5, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. You know, casting away stones and gathering stones, I guess that's because they go out there and pick up stones in the field so they can plant the crops or whatever. Then next thing you know, they're picking up rocks because they got to build something. You know, whatever it is, there's times when we have to do what we have to do. It's work. Life is not easy. We need to spend time with the Lord every day. If you don't plan to make time with the Lord, you're not going to make time with the Lord. You got to decide this is priority. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto you. I spent 40 some odd years trying to take care of my job, my family, and God was third. And my world fell apart. I had trouble with my health. I had trouble with my relationships. And I felt like I was losing everything. And I said, not anymore. What do I need to do, Lord? And the Lord spoke to me with that verse. Seek me first. And I'll take care of your family. I'll take care of your job. I'll take care of your health. I'll take care of those needs you have. Just seek me and my righteousness. Be a light for me. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. You know, I guess that's got something to do with maybe selfishness. You know, we don't want to hold on to things. We don't want to let them go. Sometimes the Lord says, you need to let that go. Sometimes the Lord says, you need to hold on to that. Time for embracing and refraining. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. Oh, we throw away so much time every day. My personal one is this thing. I carry it around. I read my Bible. I listen to teachings and stuff. But, you know, I catch myself checking email, checking text, checking Facebook. You know, I could, maybe God's wanting me to tell me, you know, hey, go pray with that person. We throw away so much time, and life is but a vapor. It's vanity. A time in verse 7 to tear and a time to sow. You know, tearing is like, this is not working. Let's rip it up and start all over again, I guess, you know. And also, a time to sew it up. Just patch it up, patch it up. You don't need a new one. Just fix the one you got. Oh, we like to have new things, don't we? We do. But maybe it's a time to tear instead of sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. You know, Tony Evans made a statement one day, and it spoke to me so much. Because of today's world, everybody's coming out of their closet. He says, it's about time Christians came out of their closet. It's time Christians stood up for the Word of God. It's time Christians stood up for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's time that God's people got on their knees and sought His face. And there's times when we need to be quiet. Just let the Holy Spirit work. Pray for them. I get some people mad because I'll say, I'm going to sick Jesus on you. What do you mean? I'm going to pray for you. Well, don't curse me. I said, I'm praying for you. God's trying to get your attention. You're not listening. And a time to love and a time to hate. You know, it's easy for us to say we love you, but it's hard for us to show that we really love someone. Jesus said that we would, that they would know us by the way we love one another. That's one thing I'm happy and proud of about this church, that we love one another. We share each other's burdens. We mourn with each other. We celebrate with each other. We go through trials together. We're family. Jesus, the body of Christ, is a family. I'm closer with some of my brothers and sisters in Christ than I am with my own family, flesh and blood. There's a time to love, but there's also a time to hate. What should we hate? The things that God hates. Not embrace them, not accept the world, but hate them. Pray for them. You know, show them what's right. It's time to say, no, that's not right. You know, you see so much in the news nowadays. In the Bible, it says in the end times, they will call what is bad, good, and good, bad. And we're there. Oh, I see 2 Timothy 3 right before us. The Everyone's a lover of themselves, haughty and proud, and unforgiving, unloving, and all those things. It's just, that's why when people ask me, John, how are you doing today? My first response is blessed, because that's what I want. I am blessed no matter what my situation is. No matter how bad my health is, no matter how bad my finances are, no matter what trial I'm going through, I'm holding on to Jesus Christ, and I know He's holding on to me. You know, we have a tendency to worry. Worry is not faith. It's the lack of faith. Not that you can't say this is a problem, but I know my God is greater than my problem. Amen? So we need to hold on to that. In verse 8, it continues to say a time of war and a time of peace. You know what? We're getting more and more where there's very little peace. And we know that there's not going to be peace till the Prince of Peace comes back. Everybody wants to war. Everybody wants to fight. Everybody wants to take offense. And we can't change other people. All we can do is when somebody curses us, you bless them. Don't take offense. Show them the love of Jesus Christ. I many times, don't show them the love of Jesus Christ. They see the world in me. And I get rebuked by God, you know, convicted. And that's the good thing about it. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit convicts you. It does not condemn you. He says, John, that wasn't right. Go confess and make that right with that person. John, that wasn't of me. Go say, hey, you acted in the flesh, not of the Spirit. You know, it's hard. This world is not easy. I covered that part today, but I'm going to go to the end of Ecclesiastes, because Solomon failed in many parts of his life. He was a very wise person, but he failed in many ways. But when he got old, when he looked back at his life, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 8 to the end of the chapter, he says, vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. It's nothing. It's nothing worth holding on to, nothing to keep in. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright. Words of truth. That's what we need. Words of truth. In love. If we've been loving on this dying world instead of convicting this dying world, maybe they would know Jesus Christ today. If we hadn't act like we were righteous, when the only righteousness we have is in Jesus Christ, because, oh, I don't drink, I don't smoke, and, you know, all these things, that doesn't get you into heaven. Jesus Christ gets you to heaven. You know, people say, all you have to do is believe. The demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but they're not going to heaven. Peter said, repent and believe. Turn. You know, we're nothing like we're going to be in heaven. God is molding us and making us. He's chipping away one day at a time, trying to mold us more like Him. Many of us, and I've been there, are like Jonah. God says, go to Nineveh. Not me. I'm going to Tarsus. And what do? We spend time in the belly of a whale. So God's got a purpose for us. It's not our life to live. He paid for us with a price. I want you to notice that when Jonah spent time in the belly of the whale, anybody ever notice when the great fish spit him up on to the bank? When Jonah said, you are the God of salvation. Jonah didn't want to go to the Ninevites because he didn't want them to be saved. He didn't want them to repent. It's not his decision. It's God's. Continuing in chapter 12. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. The truth hurts many times, but it's to make us be obedient. You know, they use the goad to move the, the cattle or the whatever around is a sharp instrument to get them to move and go where you want them to go. And we've got one shepherd, and we should willingly follow him, not, oh, I have to. God doesn't make anyone do anything. We should want to go and do what he wants us to do because we're his children. And furthermore, in verse 12, my son, be admonished by these of the making of many books. There is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. You know, you can read the Bible, study the Bible all day. You can hear it taught all day, but until you practice it, it doesn't do any good. You can go to school, learn how to be a doctor, but guess what? Until you practice it. And by the way, when they say practice, they mean it. It's a science that you have to work at. You're not automatically a doctor just because you got a degree. You got to go out there and practice what you learned. You can't say, well, I know the book said this, but I'm going to do that. I know my instructor said this, but I'm going to do that. You've got to practice what you learn. It's the same way in the scriptures. We've got to practice what we learn. So in verse 13, the final words written by Solomon, the wisest man of their day and ever, according to the Bible, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He's saying, this is a summary of everything I've covered over the last 12 chapters. Fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God and keep his commandments. God's children don't have to worry about being struck down by God, but we do have to fear the discipline of God. He disciplines his children because he loves them. Any loving father will discipline his children because he loves them. He knows they're going the wrong way. But he also admonishes them and encourages them and says, it's okay, you messed up. Now, do it the right way. This is, you know, he's a loving father. But keep his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. So when we don't obey his commandments, when we don't aren't pleasing to him, it's because we don't love him enough. Oh, we're going to fail. That's why in 1 John says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So we're not going to be perfect, but our goal is to become more and more like Jesus Christ every day. And he says, for this is man's all. This is what man was created for. In the very beginning, we were created in his image to be in communion with him. We broke communion. Now we want our own communion. We want our own way. We want to do things our way. And God says his will is for us to obey, fear him, and obey his commandments. And why? In verse 14, it says, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Life's not easy. This has not been an easy year for me, and I don't think it's been an easy year for a lot of you. Now, that's the end of the message. And I'm going to ask you, what can you do? New Year's resolution, recommit yourself to God, whatever. What can you do to be pleasing to your God? Because that's what it's about. We're to be pleasing to our God. I didn't do what I did to help my parents for what I wanted. It would have been a whole lot easier to put Dad in a nursing home. But I knew that's what God wanted me to do. I felt like I was pleasing to him by doing that. So I just ask you to search today what God is telling you the meaning of life is. You know, I'm coming to a part where I don't want to go. I haven't wanted to go there from the first of this morning. And It's to question what life is really about. You know, we think life is going to be glorious, that God's just going to bless us, and all we have to do is pray for it and ask for it, and everything's going to be good. But as we learned in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a purpose for everything under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. And as I know that one day my dad will go home with the Lord, I know that my friends and family will go home to the Lord one day if they know Jesus Christ. That makes me want to live for Jesus every day and to pray for those that don't know the Lord. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Now, we as a church body, we pray together, we fellowship together, we help each other grow. And the thing I don't like to talk about is what I'm about to bring up right now. Since midnight last night, I got a phone call. And I did not want to hear the words. It's from my dad. I haven't slept since I got that phone call. I was asked by Pastor Ken to share a message with you today. I heard words I never expected. I know Ken never expected. We celebrate in this church body. Just 2 months ago, we celebrated Ken and Miranda in the holy matrimony. And Ken called me last night and said that unexpectedly Miranda went home to the Lord. Y'all know Miranda. She loved the Lord. And I did not want to say these words to y'all. But as an elder of the church, we have to take the good with the bad. And mourning is for the living. And our God is the great comforter. I will let you know that Ken was taking it hard, just as many of you were as you were a newlywed. And I tried to comfort him with words of the Lord and let him know that we're there for him. So as we finish the service today, I just want you to think about those things. When we get married, we think that we're going to live happily ever after. But reality is if you get married and your husband or wife is in a car wreck and dies or is paraplegic from the neck down, are you still going to love them? You're still married. And you think everything's going to work out for the good. And it doesn't always. I know that Ken and Miranda had hopes to go and serve the Lord together. And all I know is that Ken loves the Lord, and he's going to serve the Lord. And it's a difficult time for him right now. So as we close with some worship music, if anybody would like to come up for prayer, and if there's any needs, the elders will be here for you. And I knew that when I said those words to you, you would not hear another word I said. That's why I closed with that. In my heart, I wanted to come out here and say, today's not a very good day. The body is hurting, and the body is hurting. And Scripture says in Psalms 116 that the Lord suffers. It's a minute in which probably at the death of one of the saints. He hurts too. But I can tell you what, Miranda, there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more sorrow. She's in the presence of the Lord. She loved the Lord. And we're the ones that are hurting. She just beat us there. And I'm ready for the Lord to come back anytime. So let's just close in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for The fact that you are not surprised by what happened last night. Apparently, the number of her days ran out, Miranda. And we thank you that, Father, she's in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more sorrow. And we thank you, Father, she can worship you and praise you forever. And, Lord, we look forward to the day that we can also. Until then, Lord, I pray that you will make us more like you. That, Lord, when these trials and tribulations come up, that we will draw closer unto you. And that, Lord, we will receive the comfort that only you can give. Lord, I lift up Pastor Ken to you. I lift up Miranda's family to you. I lift up CJ to you, who lost a mother. But you are the father to the fatherless and the orphan. You can meet them at their needs. So, Lord, we know that you're our all in all. And that, Lord, you're calling for us to fear you, reverence you, and live our lives in a way that brings you glory. And to obey your commandments. So, Lord, help us do that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.